Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be a father to your child. Be a father to your child.
This is KGB.
What up, is DJ EFN.
And this is your boy, Manny Digital. Welcome to the Fatherhoods Podcast.
Yay, yay.
Yeah, that was weak. You got to give me more Ice Cube if you're going to do it.
Well, you got to give me less Barry White.
Nah, son, this is what I do, baby.
What else, fellas?
Good, fellas.
Oh, man. I've been snowed in, actually iced in this week.
Haven't left the crib?
Pretty much. I mean, just a...
Kind of sounds fun.
It is. It's not bad. So long as you got, you know, your house fully stocked with stuff that you need, right, you're straight.
Does Uber Eats still work when motherfuckers is iced in?
Yeah. I don't order it, but it does. I see them running around.
Prime and shit, like the Whole Foods Prime? That's it. I'll just stay home.
Pretty much.
No school for the kids?
No. So what happened? It happened over the weekend. And so was just, okay. So they, you know, and Monday was a holiday, so they got back up and ready to go today. But nah, it's been cool. But I just, my dumbass didn't shovel the driveway enough. So I've got
that ice buildup underneath it.
Yeah, yeah, son. Yeah, it was dumb.
Yep. Yeah, we're on week two of the LA strike. Teacher strike here. Yeah. Yeah.
How's that going?
Surprisingly, well, they actually just made a deal, so school starts back up normally.
At least somebody's making deals.
Tomorrow. But I gotta say that I didn't send them to school. We didn't send them to school. We kept them home. But I liked having them home.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the whole, you know, some folks are like, yeah, can't wait to get my kids to school so I can have a moment to breathe, that kind of thing. But I almost feel like, and no disrespect to teachers or anything, but like my wife had him doing quite a bit of learning, like, you know, reading books and doing math puzzles and games and all that kind of stuff. So it was I'm actually a little sad that he's going back back to school tomorrow.
Wow, look at Kay.
What are you guys thoughts on homeschool?
I would like to think that I would want that and but I just feel like it's just such an undertaking, man, and the responsibility of making sure that you or your significant other teaches an array of things, you know, all the different things that the child needs to learn just seems like, I don't know, just seems like a lot to I know that they have books and they have like, what do they call, like
co-ops.
Educational plans or whatever.
Yeah, it depends on like how you do it. Per state, like if you follow state guidelines, there's a curriculum. Right. There's some people.
Yeah, curriculum. That's what I was looking for.
Then there's some folks who don't even follow any of the state. Like the state doesn't even know the kids exist. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, that's a little.
Yeah,
that's a little wild. Right?
Yeah, but then there's groups. Like you'll have homeschool groups, and they all get together to do, you know, for some subjects, that kind of stuff. But I just can't figure out. I mean, I've known some kids who were homeschooled, and some that went to school. And I guess it really depends on the kid and what's being taught. It's like, I feel like school, you get the, you don't, if you don't go to school, you kind of miss the social learning of interacting with others and trying to kind of figure out that scenario. But then again, that's maybe not always the best place to learn, period. I don't know.
And I don't think every parent is built to be definitely a disciplined homeschooler.
Yeah, definitely not.
I mean, you can hire a teacher to come in and homeschool your kid, but it kind of...
That must cost an arm and a leg.
We're
talking about ñoque barato prices.
Yeah.
like, how do you make it work? Like, you watch the History Channel with your kid all day.
Right.
And that shit's wrong already off top.
Thinking about that question, the first thing that comes to mind is scary. Just because of the undertaking and then all the other implications. Because the social aspect to me is always the one that, you know, makes me lean the other way. But I hear from folks, actually, I don't know anybody personally, but things I read or hear about, I hear that that is less of an issue, generally speaking.
Yeah, I don't think it would be. I don't know. I can't say or pinpoint that I've met a bunch of kids. Maybe I've just watched some movies where there was kids that were older. But it seems like they're not that bad as long as they grow up in like regular cities.
Right. They're forced to be around people.
Right. But if you're like talking about like you live in the mountains, you know, like in North Chakalaka and you live in a cabin and you know, all you do is shoot freaking moose and right. homeschool. Yeah, you're probably going to have a problem.
Hey man, stop!
Your only buddy's a carcass that you shot the day before.
Stop shitting on our people in North Chakalaka. They'll be listening to the pod. Yeah, I'm big on like just the traditional sense of school, right? Because you grow up, yeah, you go through your shit here and there, but like growing up, having friends that just you start to create as you grow up and whatnot that aren't necessarily close to you, you know, where you live or whatever. Like those become special. Even like the negative effects in some cases, like, you know, you run into some shit in school or whatever. Those are, for me, those are building blocks.
You know what the question to ask though nowadays, maybe that's different, is what is the effect of social media on a kid that's homeschooled? We already know that kids that go to school are, it's changing the dynamic of socialization in schools and bullying and, you know, how kids date each other or whatever, whatever. Imagine a homeschool kid. I wonder what's the pro and con of the social media age for a homeschool kid.
I guess the pro is you probably have more control over how much they're using it, I would think.
Or would you? Maybe that kid seeks more use of social media and hides it more because they don't have the social network at school.
Well, that's if he or she were even allowed to have a phone or anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. This is fucked up. But I think of it like almost like, you know how the Amish don't have
that's technology? What I keep thinking about it.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah.
It's foul.
Like, no electricity.
Right.
Please, you make the kid go 2 miles to get water from the well. I mean, those Amish actually have water in their crib, probably, but I'm imagining they walk 2 miles for water from the well.
Foul. Oh, so here's a quick update. I don't think we talked about this in a while. So remember the iPhone saga?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I lost.
Oh, man.
So here's how it ended up in my house. Check this out. My wife didn't buy it. My daughter's grandma gifted her an old iPhone.
Yeah, you got outranked.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. I was like, yo, don't talk to me about it. It just that's how it went down. Nobody said nothing. Shit just popped up for Christmas. I was like, all right. And I
what
kept the
series is it?
I think it's a 6. I think it's an iPhone 6.
Yeah, now you think that was a mom and daughter plot? Like, all right, let's figure out how we're gonna get this happen.
Nah, I don't think it was that deep. I just think, you know, my daughter was like, yo, I want one, and she put it out in the universe to everybody that she spoke to, and then somebody finally said, you know what, fine,
man,
here you go,
a bunch of seeds.
Yeah, but I found out since we're talking about, you know, school, I found out she actually takes it to school and taps into the school's Wi-Fi to use it in between class or whatever. And I was like, I was actually shocked, first of all, that during regular school hours, you had Wi-Fi access.
Right.
Which is kind of contradictory to me, but.
Or that they give students access to the Wi-Fi. I guess if they have a lot of computers in the classes and stuff, they would probably need it.
Or it might be an open one, like a public one.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's ways to control it. Like if it's absolutely necessary for a particular class, you can keep the radius within that class or whatever, but. I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny. I can't really bitch because my daughter's on the honor roll. So
there you go.
I mean, it's not really affecting her.
Yeah. Well, as long as she's not giving issues.
The pro is now you have something to take away if she misses a grade or something or messes up.
I do, but I don't want to be that guy. I don't even want to. I want to pretend like it's not even here, bro.
Right. Well, it's there, buddy.
Oh, wait. I have one more thing I want to mention.
Yeah.
Real fast. I want to give my daughter a shout because she now has, she's getting an award for like a recognition. I cannot remember exactly what it is, but it's for being of African, so basically African American descent, you get an award for scholastic achievement. And since she's on the honor roll, they're recognizing her at the local community college.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, so she's getting an award and some sort of, I guess, press or something like that. So
nice.
Yeah, man, I'm proud.
Oh yeah. Congratulations, yeah, bro.
Thank you.
This is where we insert the effects of hands clapping.
We have that?
Yeah.
Along with our Bitmoji.
Come on, man. We're advanced over here.
Do animated Bitmojis.
All right, here's a more serious question. We don't have to dwell on it too often, but I'm curious how often do you guys see your own dads, if you do at all?
I don't. Well, you, I mean, you guys, I think I've told you guys, you see our dad is what you asked?
Yeah, or interact with them at all, whether it's phone. I mean, I know you've got an estranged relationship, but do you still interact with them at all?
So, yeah, so long story short, I hadn't really seen my father in 10 to 15 years around. Then I started to text communicate in the past year when I knew the baby was going to be born. Because I always said I did want my child to meet her grandfather. And I felt maybe I'd use that to kind of like mend the problem. We started to kind of. We saw each other a couple times, and he got to meet the baby, met Karina and everything. And then we had another personal issue, and we've been out of touch again. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because today, actually, because we've been a little bit out of touch, whereas maybe like before I was like every other day or every couple of days I was sending him pictures or texting him about my daughter.
Uh-huh.
It had stopped. And then today I actually – it's been a few – like several days or even a week. Today I actually text him, you know, pictures of my daughter, but it's just mad weird with him because he'll just be like, she looks angry. Like he's like one word text message back. So she's like, all right, whatever, guy.
Right.
So that's my story.
Does that stress you out at all? Or does it weigh on you at all? Like it's like, oh man, like I have this relationship that I gotta kinda try to mend, or are there times you're just like, man, fuck it, I don't even wanna deal with this.
It stressed me while I was like, okay. I was happy to try to do it again, to give it another shot for my daughter's sake.
Uh-huh.
Because my dad's dad was for me, he was a great grandfather. And because of that, him and his mom, my grandmother, who just recently passed away, they were great grandparents. And because of that, I felt that my daughter deserved, you know, she already has my mom and she deserves my dad. And then unfortunately, my girl's parents both are deceased. So I felt the need that, man, you know, whatever issue that I have with him or whatever issue we have with each other, I'm willing to, you know, sweep that under the rug and try to, you know, at least just like there's no way we could be mad at each other with this baby around. And in the beginning it worked. But then my dad's lady, she's a little bit overbearing. And that just kind of got in the way and it just got a little weird. And then my grandma passing, his mom made things a lot weirder. And then it just, that transition between his lady getting involved and she was like overly excited about my daughter. And then my grandma passing away, it just added so much stress to us trying to like have some kind of relationship that now we're kind of like back almost in square one. The only thing that we have that kind of allows me to communicate is just sending a picture of my daughter. And it's kind of on me, I guess, if I wanted to be like, hey, let's meet up, let's hang out. But in the past, I always had this like chip on my shoulder. It's like, yo, my man, you're the elder, you're the father. You should be coming, reaching out to me. If you think I'm being stubborn, then you should be the OG here and come to your son and be like, hey, son, this is, you know, why we're not whatever. And I feel that again now, like, yo, my man, like, but you know, now he's older, he's, you know, he's got full disability from the, you know, he's a Vietnam veteran, got full disability from the vets. And so, you know, it's almost harder to like look at him in a way where it's like he should do things. You kind of feel bad like, ah, now I should do things because I don't know. It's just weird, man. It is stressful to answer your question in short.
What about you, Manny?
I probably see my dad once a year. Maybe twice a year. So he lives in another state. He lives in Florida, actually, in Orlando.
Okay.
But what you just said, he actually strikes a nerve with me, only because I often find myself in that same predicament where it's like, who should be the bigger man, right, in the equation? Because to one degree, and same one that I've leaned on forever, it's like, yo, you're the father. Like, you need to reach out to me, or you need to check up on me, or whatever. But I'd say over the last few years, I don't necessarily hold that, not against him, but I don't necessarily put that on him as much. And reason being, I feel like, and he'll say this to me all the time, at this stage in my life, I feel like I know a lot more than he did. And for better or worse, or whatever the case is, I almost feel like because I know better, I know that I should do better. And so I kind of put the onus on myself every now and again to, you know, to check in and see how he's doing or whatever. But I do find it strange because he's got grandchildren, right? Like, yo, it don't cost you much to jump on even Instagram and do like a FaceTime situation and kind of see, you know, your grandkids every now and again or what have you. But it's a whole different generation, and technology is a big challenge for him.
Right. And I didn't mention my father actually lives literally miles away from me during the time that we didn't talk for like 15 years. So that's the even more weird, creepy shit, you know. And then and he has two stepkids who are adults now that he basically raised. And so, you know, just all that stuff. It's just a weird dynamic.
How about you, Kay?
Yeah, I get it. I have one question.
Okay. <for you. laughs>
I mean, so when you, because I'm just trying to get a better read on your relationship, like what, when you were living in Florida, and was he in Florida? Did you see him more often, or is it more so distance, or is it more so that's just the nature of the relationship where it's, you know, it's.
I'd blame it more on the nature of the relationship. Like, we overlapped for a small amount of time while I was in Florida. Like, he lived in the Miami area for a little bit while I was down there, and we saw each other way more than we probably ever did, but it wasn't something that, you know, I would be like, oh shit, you know, I gotta set up a schedule, or like, it was always cognizant only. And I think it's mostly just because I was so accustomed to not having him around that to me, it wasn't something that I had to prioritize. It would just kind of, if I thought about it, it happened, check him out, and then keep it moving.
Right. Okay. Got it. Yeah. For me, I have pretty regular contact. Actually, now that I live on the West Coast, he lives on the West Coast, so he lives probably about 2 hours north from me. Don't see him as often as I probably should, but you know, it's just like life gets in. You know, it's like the weekend comes
and lots goes. Of
stuff to do with the kid. Yeah. You know, just goes. I'd say probably from my memory, maybe like when I was around 12 or 13 is when I started having more regular interaction with them. But I was on the East Coast. He was on the West Coast. So it was probably like a once a year, you know, visit for a couple of days, that kind of thing. Hmm. And then we had a falling out maybe when I was 17, something like that. And we went kind of go quiet for a minute and then brought it back around again. We actually have a great relationship considering that, you know, like and I don't think that's typical, like when the dad is not necessarily in the picture, especially when you're a young kid, and even, you know, having a falling out when you're, you know, late teens, I'd say it's probably not typical that you end up having a really strong relationship. So I'm lucky in that respect. Yeah, so I'm just curious how.
I have a question for Manny. Do you find yourself? Do you have any chip on your shoulder towards your dad?
In what respect? What do you mean, like I think I'm better than him, type of thing, or
no,
like,
no, the fact that you feel maybe, or if he wasn't around, or whatever type of thing.
Nah, I don't hold a grudge or anything like that.
Because I know in the past episodes you said that you kind of understood it when you got older. You kind of.
Yeah, like, you know, it boiled down to, yeah, I mean, coming of age, I guess, and really understanding what the dynamics of a relationship are. Right. And, you know, I don't necessarily condone or give them props for like the dirtbag shit, right. But I can understand how two people just it doesn't work for right. whatever reason, right? And so from that respect, like I give him props because it would have been really easy for him to just cut bait and never see him again, and none the wiser, and that would have been fine, you know, by him. Well, it could have been fine by him. So the fact that he was still lingering and, you know, trying to interact with us for all those years, I give him a lot of credit for it because, like, you know, we see it all the time, like many, many examples of the opposite happening. So I don't necessarily hold it against him. I feel like I do have something deep in me that keeps me distant that's beyond just like, you know, like what I just finished saying, which is like, oh, yeah, if it's not on the mind, like I just kind of keep it pushing. But I haven't put my finger on what that is yet.
Okay. No, I said because, you know, I did come to a place where I, again, like you coming of age or to a degree, I understood certain things or I saw things from, try to see things from his perspective in terms of my father. So I kind of like forgave him for a lot of stuff and even his personality traits. Like, I'm like, I see myself in him in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of get it, like, you know, the good or the bad. So I let that go, but it's just, I'm at that point now where it's like, it's been so distant for so long that it's just like, bro, if you're not going to make the effort, I'm not going to make the effort and no harm, no foul. Sucks for both of us, but it is what it is.
I think having kids is a softening point as well, or at least it should, you know, it could be that unifying point. It's that point that makes us say, all right, well, let's you know, if there was issues in the past or whatever, let's put something together for the sake of the kids.
That's what I tried to do.
Yeah.
I really tried to do it. And it seemed like it was going to go in that direction. You know, he came to my home and, you know, he met my girl while she was pregnant. And then, you know, when the baby was born, but I mean, there's some personal things I want to get into, but it's just like, it just got a little weird. And then my grandma just passing away and certain things that happened with that just made things even weirder. And it just, yeah, we're now at a weird place again. But my fear, and I don't know if necessarily it's a fear, is that I would hate for something, you know, to happen to him. And there's not, you know, like I could have probably, my daughter could have, you know, been around him more. But again, I'm also like, yo, my man, like, bro, step up, dog.
Put some work in.
Yeah, like, step up, you know. His lady will step up, but that's not who I want to step up.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's pretty interesting, though, that she's stepping up, and she, you know, that's a whole other gray area when, you know, you've got husbands and wives from...
Right.
You know,
so. It almost raises some resentment. Like, I look at that and I'm like, yo, like, all right, that's cool, but you're not the one. Why don't you channel the energy to this dude and have him kind of step up?
And it's not even the kind of step up that you're just like, oh, man, it's admirable that she's trying to do something good on his behalf. That's not even the she's literally said, you know, and I'm kind of putting shit out there, but she's literally said that she's made comment where she's bored in life.
Mm.
You know? And so it's like, listen, man, I don't want my family, you know, or my daughter to help fill that void for you. And you know, but whatever. The point is that she's definitely over willing to be around or do things or call or be in contact. But I'm like, that's not who I want. I want my pops, you know what I'm saying? And I would love to be able to have more of him and not notice you as much around. Yo, and, I mean, yo, whatever, man. I mean, I already mentioned her, but yo, homegirl has like overdone it, man.
The other interesting thing with what you just mentioned about, like, you know, you've got similar traits as your dad and everything, is especially like if you're not growing up around your father, but then you realize that, oh, damn, I got all these similarities and I wasn't even raised by a dude. You know what I mean? I thought that was interesting for me, at least, when I started, you know, like noticing just how I act and different things,
yeah,
and what I was interested in. And then when I got to know my dad, it was like, oh, damn, you know, he's likes the same shit or he acts the same way. And so that's
it's scary too, though, because the negative traits, like, God forbid, you know, I don't know, man. I'm constantly like checking my, like, the way I am and comparing it. And I'm like, okay, that's the negative shit I don't like about homie. Let me not do that.
Right. Yeah.
That's that nature versus nurture right there, bro.
Brought it back.
That's that bit versus Moji.
Oh, shit.
If anybody wants to know why we keep bringing up Bitmoji, I have an issue with Bitmoji and trying to get my Bitmojis to Manny.
Shout out Bitmoji, making our life better for the cover art that we're working on. So I got...
Did I give away our graphic secrets? I'm sorry.
Nah, it doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
I got birthdays coming up over here. Mm. So my kids, the interesting thing about, one of the interesting things about my kids is that all of them have a birthday on some sort of like holiday. So I got a leap day, I guess, right? Yes. I got a President's Day baby. I've got a Memorial Day baby.
Wow.
So in February, I got two birthdays coming up. And
all your days off are done?
Yeah, it's finished. They've been finished.
Your Memorial Day is a Gemini.
Yeah. Yeah, my son.
Because my birthday is always around Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So it becomes like birthdays, right, generally. They become this whole political and overly analytical situation for us as we're planning them. And we don't do anything super huge and elaborate. Like, actually, we tend to favor going away for the birthday.
You don't have to invite anyone.
You don't have to think about all that shit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it comes back to like a wedding, bro. Like, the politics get that deep sometimes. And, you know, we try to limit, and a lot of these, like, you know, bounce house places and, you know, crafts that they do at like these different shops, they help situations, but they could also damage situations. Cause now you're putting your kid in a situation where you're like, you know, sometimes we'll be like, yo, no friends from school, only family, because we have so many fucking cousins and, you know, friends from growing up from his mom and I that we try to introduce into the mix. And so the numbers get overwhelming. So we're in that season now. And I'm just curious, like, for you guys, and E, you're coming up, so you got to start thinking about this stuff. How does the birthday come up, and how do you guys, like, handle it as you're thinking through how to execute on it? Okay.
Well, I know we talked previously about just, you know, elaborate versus simple birthday stuff, but this is more on the politics side of who to invite and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. In the past, we have typically gone away during his birthday.
Smart.
Which really worked out well for all of us.
Works out well.
and as he's gotten older, so this year was he specifically, like, we had a trip on the table. It was like, all right, we could either go here, you know, do it up again, or that. Then he was like, well, maybe I want to have stay home and have a birthday with my friends. And I was like, damn. <You know? laughs> So yeah, he won on that one, just because we had been doing it the other way previously.
Yeah, I've been ducking for years now.
Yeah. Yo, he thought he was getting over. He was like, it's your birthday weekend, Hawaii.
Yep. But it actually it actually worked out all right. I mean, surprisingly, he wanted to keep it low key. Like, he just had maybe 7 friends that he wanted to invite. You know, he kind of had it in his mind who he wanted there, and we did it at a place that you couldn't have a lot of kids anyway. Mm-hmm. It's like his karate dojo. They do, you know, they'll do birthday mm-hmm. parties there sometimes. So it ended up working out good. But then what always, but just thinking in the future, I'm always scared, like, when I'm at school and he brings home invites, and it's like his entire class has gotten an invite for some kid's birthday party, and I'm like, I hope
you know, I definitely don't want that to set the precedent. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because
it becomes 20 to 30 kids, you know, being invited to a party and probably doesn't like all, you know what I mean? It's just that's kind of a weird thing to, like,
yeah,
to feel like you have to invite every single person to a party. I don't know if I'm totally with that. I mean, to each his own, but it's not really my thing.
Fuck that, says KGB. And E, for your daughter's first birthday, have you guys started talking about how that's gonna go down? Cause that a lot of folks make it this grandiose event. Like, is that where y'all leaning?
I think that's stupid.
I'm with you.
First of all, it's a baby that doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, but I get it, you know. So I'm gonna put that on my girl. I'll let her, you know, take point on it. But personally, I think it should just be like the close family. We have a small family. It's her grandmother, my mom, and us. And then, you know, whatever. Maybe, you know what? The trip idea is actually maybe for her birthday, take a trip to LA to be with Karina's family, which is a lot larger over there. Maybe we do that. But yeah, I'm not looking forward to this whole birthday and do it up and blah, 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 and bunch of kids and somebody falls on their face and cries and, oh my God. And nah, man, like I'm going to try to, like, little by little just be like, yo, it's just us, it's movies, you know, like right. One
good
thing
luck,
I used to,
good luck with that one. Yeah. that'll last for a couple of years. And then
the other thing I might try to implement, I've done this throughout my life with friends and family or whatever. It's like, and this was more because I would forget people's birthdays. So I would be like, birthday week, yo, let's kill it. The whole week is up for grabs. It's birthday week, you know what I'm saying? So maybe I'll introduce her birthday week, and every, you know, it'll be like every day we do some little something, something, you know, representing the whole week as a celebratory birthday week.
Yeah, birthday week is good. Birthday trip definitely is that's my favorite.
No, way to do it. Yeah, that's definitely the adult favorite. We're winning there. Write the book on that one.
Definitely, we were definitely winning on that one for a minute.
Chapter one, potty train. Chapter two, trip to Hawaii for the kids.
Oh, you're really gonna like it. Trust me.
We went to his first birthday. He was already potty trained at one.
Yo, Kay, have you been to the Disney Resort in Hawaii?
No.
A Disney Resort?
Yo, son. I'm a member.
I'm already on the calendar with that. Never mind.
I'm a member. That joint is legit, bro.
So anything Disney, I've like tried to keep it on silence in the house. He's not even aware that there's Disneyland or Disney World or any of that stuff. Yeah.
Because of expenses or because you think that's the enemy?
No, well, mainly because it's probably just, you know, it's down the long lines, and it just seems like a damn mission to get to do it.
You just gotta talk to Reco about how to circumvent lines and get all the special VIP passes.
Yeah. My wife feels bad. It's like, oh man, we haven't even taken him to Disney yet. And
I mean, I'm looking at
Don's like, don't say that word yet. He doesn't know about it yet. It's okay.
This is probably like the better, you know, this age, six and up, is probably the better time to actually take him if you're going to take him. Yeah. But what's nice about the Hawaii resort, it's not like the theme park. Okay. So it's like they got a little back, you know, the back part of the hotel goes into the beach or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, it's cool. It can get crazy in there, but it's not anywhere near what it is at the theme park.
He's happy with Dave and Buster's right now.
Okay. Oh, damn, that even makes me stressed out, Dave and Buster's, as an adult.
They got a bar there, so you can get a drink. And
no, I know. That's where I'm at. Because just walking around the games gets me stressed out.
Yo, God bless all the people that work, like the teenagers.
Chuck E. Cheese. And
yeah, yo, God bless them. Because I couldn't.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So here's something that got me thinking. After hearing some of our guests like Bun talk and Murs talk, kind of going back to the filtering of
the music lyrics and the music content and everything. What do you guys think about that after hearing different folks talk, like, especially, so, you know, Merce's standpoint of just letting them hear everything. Like, I like that idea. I don't know if I'm capable of doing that.
I think there's a middle ground to be had in that. Not too much where you're just like, yeah, I'm going to play Hey, We Want Some Pussy really quick. My <daughter."> right. So, but maybe I'll let some Public Enemy fly. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I think that's the middle ground. I'm more for open. Yeah. Just like art is art and trying to like help my child grow up in an understanding that, you know, art is free and art is this and art is that, but just not trying to throw like, you know, like I said, Hey, Wants a Pussy. But yeah, and there was a point that I did want to make to that. I can't, if I remember, I'll come back.
I've been trying to put it into practice, actually, letting certain things fly. Even what I find, and I hate myself for doing it, like, and I'm not planting it per se, but it just seems to come out. I'm actually cursing more around them in certain cases, like what I would normally do around my friends. And they gave me this look like, you sure you should be talking to around us like that? And I'm like, all right, let me slow this shit down a little bit. But it's like, for instance, my 11-year-old, I know she's surrounded by all sorts of shit, right? Word, you know, foul language and sexually explicit conversations I'm sure that she's having with her, you know, girlfriends or whatever in school. But she knows never to even hint toward any of that stuff when she's around us or at home, and she never uses that kind of language. So I trust her to take the conversations that I have and not take anything bad from it necessarily to, you know, mimic. But then my son and my younger daughter, I don't trust them for shit because they're slick and they'll find the opportunity to be slick when they shouldn't be.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you got to kind of really understand your child and who they are and their personality and what they absorb and what they don't. But it does seem like the better route to kind of play the honest role and you being able to be yourself as an adult and the kid learning that adults can do these certain things that kids can't. And this is what I wanted to, this is what I remember when Merz was talking. I might have brought it up in previous episodes, but my goddaughters, Paul's kids, he would play the music with full on lyrics and whatnot. And I remember one time picking up when my goddaughters lived here in Miami, picking them up from school, from junior high. And I had I had a CD playing and it had the curse words going. And I was like, at first I was like, ah, damn. But I didn't want to make it obvious, like turn it off.
Yeah.
So I let it ride for a little bit because I know Paul lets it ride. So I was just like, all right, you know, I'm gonna let it ride. And then they started reciting the lyrics. And I was like, oh man. But then, but they were omitting all the bad words.
Yeah. Interesting.
So they're saying it, blah, 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 blah. They were editing themselves. And I thought that was dope.
Yeah.
Cause they knew that they couldn't say those words,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they wouldn't make a face if they heard us curse around them or anything, but then they wouldn't curse. Or they would even be like, oh, they would like, you know, like tell on the sister, she said a bad word. So obviously hearing us say it didn't change their feelings or them knowing that they couldn't say those words or those words were wrong for them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think, man, if you can have an open environment with your kid, I think that ends up being the better route, but not every kid is built the same way. You might have a real rowdy kid that takes all that stuff like a sponge and then turns out to be the craziest little, you know, person in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
I do envision one day, like, me and my son, you know, whatever the hell the medium would be at that time, but let's say streaming like a Biggie album and like
it's a hologram at that point.
Yeah. But having it do for him what it does for me, you know what I mean? And right. Just vibing to it, like that would be sick to me. But
hoping that he actually appreciates it.
Well, that's my bigger fear, because what you hear on the radio now it definitely will be like his moment, right, with music.
Right.
But being able to appreciate, you know, the generation before him, I'm hoping that's still a possibility.
I think probably the younger you start with letting him hear that,
yeah,
the more it'll stay with him.
Yeah,
exactly. And I always, and I've said this before, just like when we were young, there's iconic musicians that, you know, never got old to even young people, like, you know, like the Bob Marleys or the Beatles, mm-hmm, or whatever, artists like that. And I think that Biggie and Pac are going to kind of live on in that manner.
Yeah, I think I'm more apt to, and I have, we have, me and my wife, we've had music on in the car, things like that, and there's been cuss words and stuff, and we let some of it fly. I think it just depends on the context of it all and
yeah,
the words itself, like, you know, if it's shit and sometimes even fuck, that kind of, but it depends on the context, as yeah, opposed to, I would feel uncomfortable with, you know, letting him hear a song where the context is sexually explicit, or it's,
I want to, you
know,
fuck you, Easy. I want to fuck you too. Right.
Or it's a lot of N-word stuff. You know what I mean? So, because he's not going to understand,
right,
the context,
right,
with all that. So,
yeah,
yeah. So I think
the
middle,
the
middle road,
the context.
What'd you say, E? What'd you say?
I said, I got Boris, a.k.a. Beats in the Hood. He's like 25, 28, I don't know, going to 30. Still doesn't understand the context of the N-word in songs.
Man, I wish Beats in the Hood had a kid, man. He would be amazing to talk about his experiences as a dad.
Yo, man, we don't need that experiment just for a good fatherhood episode. That'd be terrible.
I don't know. I'm willing to set him up.
Yo, that would be hilarious.
Oh, man. For those that don't know who that is, check him out on Instagram. I think his name is Beats in the Hood, right? With an N, not I-N.
Nah, well, on Instagram, it's Boris CHP.
Oh, there you go.
But it says, but he might have, I don't know, he might have started a Beats in the Hood, but most of his social media is Boris CHP.
Yeah.
And we have a demo podcast that we did together called Lost in Translation, which is pretty funny. I don't know if we'll do another one, but Jesus, it's funny. That's
one for the records.
Right. Yeah. Awesome, guys.
It's been a slow week.
We're all father now.
It's been a slow father news week.
It has, man. Like, my kids have been pretty low key and chill. My yeah, I can't, nothing emergency podcast worthy for sure this week.
Well, actually, I have something. What do you guys? So today, a friend of ours that goes to the gym that me and my girl go to, she just had her second child, a baby. Well, she has a baby now, and a super infant. And she's a Chinese Jamaican, and she tends to like not. She plays this role where she's like one of those mothers that doesn't care about certain things. Or she's like over it. Like, if the baby cries, you know, you don't really run to the baby. And blase, blase. So I guess my question is, you know, we've maybe talked about this a little bit in the past, but what do you guys think about, like, were you guys the type when the baby cried, you like ran to the baby, you know, to comfort it? Do you feel that giving attention every time the baby cries is kind of setting yourself up for future failure, where, you know, where the kid just like is used to that and knows that they can kind of manipulate you in that way? Mm-hmm. And I actually asked our, because I was of the school of thought that you don't react because you are creating a bratty kid, at, you know, down the line. Me and my girl kind of had like a little debate about it. And then we asked the doctor, the pediatrician, and he basically said, look, man, babies don't cry just to cry. So if the baby's crying, it's for a reason, you know, and you want to pick her up and, you know, and see if there's something wrong.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, my son was never a big crier, but when he did cry, there was always a reason. And even now to this day, it's like when, if he's gets in a bad mood or if he's upset about something, like, he's usually in a pretty good mood. So if there's something up with him, then it's usually there, you know, there is something up with him, and it deserves the attention to, you know, figure out what's going on. Yeah. I don't think we didn't really think about it too much in terms of like, should we do this or should we do it? Not do it. I mean, I know we've heard the pros and cons on that kind of stuff when we were like doing our own research, but I think for the most part, it's like, you know, if we can provide comfort to our child, then that's what we're going to do. And, you know, we're not going to let him turn out to be a brat.
You don't think that a little tough love can help?
No, you definitely get some tough love sometimes, but but that's more so tough love on the, like, learning through maybe a consequence or learning through, you know, something that's going on, as opposed to, you know, just ignoring him when he's crying kind of thing.
Because I feel, and I might be wrong, I feel that I'm starting to see my daughter cry. She definitely does it with my girl, because she definitely, you know, she's, my girl's also her food source. So
yeah,
she's everything to her. She's her comfort, her food.
I just pictured her like as a refrigerator, like the head and the top.
So if my girl, like, now she has to like hide when she's like moving around, if the baby's with me and calm, because if she sees her, she just cries and puts her arms out.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and you know, and even when she leaves, even with me to a certain degree, she'll do that. If she's like tired of sitting somewhere or being somewhere, she wants to be held. So I'm starting to feel like I'm seeing now that the effects of like picking her up every time she cries, because now she knows, she puts her hands up like, yo, you it's better time. Pick me up, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm starting to feel like, I don't know. There has to be a little truth.
The way I see it, there's a couple of, you kind of got to detach the two, meaning the fact that the baby is learning how to manipulate people, I think it's separate from the likelihood of them becoming a brat, right? So they learn very quickly how to optimize the situation to their benefit. And so what happens, though, is it's instinctual at the end of the day. It's like, all right, you start to learn when your kid is calling, you know, some crying wolf, or they really need something. And your ear just gets refined for those, you know, to listen to how they cry. Or right. What's happening? Like my daughter, my youngest, I would say, you know, all throughout all three kids, we would always react based on how we knew them to be individually. So I know my son is more needy than my youngest daughter, for instance. So if he's, but he doesn't cry. So if he's crying, 9 times out of 10, there's something wrong. So we tend to him. Now, my bratty little one, she'll fake cry her ass off. And we ignore most of her crying because we know what her, you know, what it sounds like when she's doing that bullshit. So I would say for you, E, it's probably too early, but you already picked up on why she's doing it. She's trying to eat for the most part or get something that she wants.
Well, no, my daughter she's always hungry. So I feel like right. Even that now is like, yo, come on, man. Like, turn it off. Like, like you can, like, there's a pro and a con. She's a good eater, so she doesn't. She's not, you know, like I hear that some babies or some kids don't want to eat or they spit their food out or reject certain foods, you know. No, she'll, even if she doesn't like something, she'll even make a face like, but okay, I'll take some more.
Right.
You know, because I think she just prefers eating over not eating. So she's good on that tip. So then at that point, I'm like, we can't feed you, you know, 17 hours out the day. Like, come on, man. Like you need to stop. And to go back to the girl in the gym, the reason why I brought up her nationality is I'm wondering if it's a cultural thing too. Like I was thinking on her end, you know, on maybe the Chinese side of her was like a little bit more like they had, she was saying now that her mom, you know, picks up the baby or deals more with the baby when she cries on her end. So I guess it's not necessarily a nationality thing. It's more of a personality thing for her. But I'm wondering if culturally, is there something there where some cultures are a little bit more, you know, apt to go and always be with the baby, or some are like hands off. Like for some reason, I imagine Genghis Khan and the Mongolians, like the wolves, you know, the mouth of the
wolves. Yeah, I think culturally is definitely that.
You know
what that is, I'm not sure, but I would say that there's probably some cultural norms.
I can tell you
don'ts and stuff.
I can tell you my mom, and I think every Dominican woman that I've run into, when they see how we interact with our kids, like if they're crying for whatever reason, they're running for them kids. They're like, "What? Why aren't you paying attention? What's wrong with you? Pick the kid up."
Don't.
Yeah, because we will be more like,
relaxed.
You know, yeah, we'll be more lax. And they're always like up in arms, like freaked out that we're not attending to the kid for whatever reason. So I don't know if it's a Dominican thing, but 9 times out of 10, that's been the case.
Mm. Yeah, like we, you know, we have the baby monitor, and so when the baby wakes up, she'll wake up, and then sometimes she'll eventually start to cry, because you know she's like, "All right, I'm up," you know, like I know that you guys have a camera in here, not really, So what I tend to do is I want to be like, okay, I want to see her work it out a little bit without us being there. Like, we're watching her. You know she's fine. Let her work it out. That's my thinking. I don't know if it's right, but.
I don't think that's wrong. I think that's actually good, specifically because you can actually see her. So if she is caught in some dangerous situation, you could probably tell. But I think that's also part of how they mature. Like, they have to start figuring shit out. It's like when Rec mentioned, you know, the sleep tactic that he uses for his twins. Like, that shit is hard, bro. Especially when you got twins in there. Like, if they start wilding out and you just say, ah, fuck it, y'all got to figure it out.
Remind us, what does he do again?
So he sets them down in the crib and then walks off.
Lights
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah, the
sleep training.
Yeah, the dry sleep mode. Here.
Yeah.
I tried that a couple times.
Let the really screaming begin.
I still can't do that with my 2.5-year-old. She's going to be 3 this next month. I cannot do that.
I don't even know how he could do it. If I do that to my daughter, she's rolling around. I call it the death roll. She does that when I'm putting her in her car seat or we're taking her out. Like, the strap isn't off and she's like doing this death roll. She does it in her crib too. Like, she'll do the death roll. She gets up on her knees. She tries to stand up. She pulls down anything around. Like, how are you leaving a kid there to fall asleep? That's not happening. My daughter thinks it's romper room right in there right now.
Yeah. Special. Maybe having a twin softens it a little bit. I don't know.
Probably. I mean, well, what he said was, I guess they figured that they needed to just get it under control quick, because if they didn't have the sleep figured out, you know, one would fall asleep, the other would wake the other one up.
Makes total sense.
So I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not something that we didn't do sleep training. I think maybe we tried for one time. And that maybe lasted about 20 minutes. We're like, no, fuck it. We're
not gonna. Our young podcast has a sleep guru and a potty training guru.
All right, man.
Couldn't hack it. Yeah.
Well, boys, it's been real.
Time to change a diaper.
Indeed.
That's it. Don't speak again. That's it. We're done. Peace.